Welcome back to Can We Fix It? I'm your host, Maura Walsh, and I am here with, as always, my co-host, Jen the Vulpinator Douglas. And this week we have a special guest with us, a former candidate for the House seat of District 9 in Providence, Democrat, community activist, and all-around badass, Dwayne Keyes. Dwayne, thank you for A, your patience, and B, being on the show.
No worries. Thank you so very much. I perfectly understand. And as I was saying, this conversation is long overdue. We definitely should have met up sooner, but with all that's going on, I'm just glad to be here now for us to connect and talk about these issues this evening.
Absolutely. So one of the many reasons that we're having you on is because Can We Fix It is now politically incredibly relevant. And two of the bills that we made fun of last week, the fur trapping bill and the precious metals bill, were both held indefinitely by the sponsor. So we're going to try and work a little bit of that Can We Fix It magic with Kennedy Plaza and the shit show that is transpiring right now. For people like Jen who don't live in Providence, can you, you know, kind of explain a little bit what's been going on with Kennedy Plaza and why this is always and once again, you know, a discussion that Providence is having?
Yeah, I mean, just for Jen and your viewers, unfortunately, Rhode Island and Providence in particular have a Jim Crow tradition, which is now resurfacing again with this idea that did not come up from the Ripta rioters or anybody else with any, you know, common sense or not someone who's not selfish to think that it was a good idea to break up the main bus hub and to replace it with smaller bus hubs within the surrounding areas of downtown Providence. But essentially, this idea actually goes back as far as 2015, 2016. So this is not new that this idea has come up. It is new that it has been presented in this fashion through Rhode Island Department of Transportation and RIPTA. But 4 years ago, going back into the fall of 2016, there was a meeting with the City of Providence's Planning Department and RIPTA about this idea back then of breaking up or dismantling the main bus hub of Kennedy Plaza, having smaller bus hubs, depending upon which buses were coming north, south, east, and west, and that Kennedy Plaza would become like an extension of the Burnside Park. So we can have like the so-called mini Central Park in Providence. That was an idea me and a couple of neighbors, we went to that meeting, we listened, and we had some very good questions. Okay, how does this improve transit? Is this going to be where we can see like less costs and fares? Is this meaning the commute's going to be longer, shorter? We didn't see where there was a benefit to the riders, and it overall just didn't make sense. Why are we breaking up or moving this outside? Why? What is the benefit to us all? And so as we were doing our own analysis, you know, common sense folks saying this doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem like it's going to help the riders. It doesn't seem like this is good use of our money for transit. So you know what? No. So we said back then, no. And we didn't hear no more about this project other than it was mentioned here and there until 2020. And so one of my neighbors actually said, you know, with this pandemic, they're going to try stuff. They're going to see this as an opportunity to try to submit some stuff or get something that they know the community will usually oppose. And so that neighbor was proven correct because then we saw this started resurfacing in April 2020 with this idea. But now instead of it being with the City of Providence and RIPTA, it's now all of a sudden with the state level with RIDOT and RIPTA. Okay. And so you see a number of other groups, Grow Smart Rhode Island, Providence Streets Coalition, Rhode Island Transit Riders, a lot of them are just going forward and saying, no, this doesn't make sense. They're trying to make sure that public input is being brought in. They're being ignored. They're being dismissed. And then lo and behold, one of the neighbors reached out to us and asked us if we have an opinion. And that's when I said, yes, because we said this 4 years, then 4 years ago. No, we've been said no. Makes no sense. It's not helpful. It's not improving transit. And then to find out that they're using transit-oriented funds to do stuff that actually isn't transit, is also alarming. That's a whole other conversation. But when you analyze it, the majority of the folks who use the bus are communities of color, low to moderate income, historically excluded groups. More importantly, they're federal and state protected classes of people. And so when you talk about disparate impact, when you talk about the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and its implications of what that means, it means you cannot do these types of things when it's going to create such harm, or as they call the technical legal term is disparate impact to families, to people, to these writers. And so as we got involved and you saw the coverage and uprise and other, you know, other publications about my remarks at the rally. I said what I said. I meant every word. And then we come up, we did the community meeting, Providence Streets Coalition. Let's have a public meeting as to what would that look like. What do you gather the information? The comments were very clear. The concerns were very clear. The consensus was clear. No. This is not a use of our time, of our money, or to do this project, which would create such undue burden and harm to those historically excluded groups.
What I think is very interesting.
Go ahead.
What I think is very interesting is that they're also always trying to fucking trick us into liking something that we do not want. Number one, it is straight up hilarious that they introduced this in April of 2020. Okay, because that suggests that, like, you know, it would be one thing if it were like January, like before, you know, the COVID had started.
No.
It was, yes, they waited until, and then they were like, you know what's a great opportunity? This. Let's fucking do it, team. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's push it right through.
And if we recall, years ago, they asked transit riders if they wanted an extra hub. And that is a different concept altogether. I know as a bus rider, it sucked that no matter where you were coming from or what your destination was, you had to go to Providence and from Providence. Are you trying to go from one place in Pawtucket to another place that's, you know, not walkable in Pawtucket? Okay, ride to Providence and then to Pawtucket. You know what I mean? Like, there is a need for multiple hubs for RIPTA, but not the way that they're trying to do it. There's no need to put four hubs in downtown Providence. That doesn't help anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's interesting that they're trying to masquerade all of this as transit work, when in reality, it's, you know, Prince of Providence Paolino, who's like, I don't want those dirty pores in my downtown.
Amen to that.
Like, I'm sorry, but like, you could tell it's clearly about the class of people when you're not allowed to have a cigarette at Kennedy Plaza as you're waiting for the bus, but you are allowed to have a cigarette outside, you know, Murphy's Tavern, which is like a block away.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And again, that was a whole nother. And again, if you go back to the smoking ban ordinance, but even more importantly, let's take a step further. The original purpose of Paolino Properties purchasing St. Joe's, that's another thing the SBNA is dealing with. What was the whole purpose of that? That was to exclude and segregate, let's use the word, because that's what we're doing, that's what's happening, that's what they're doing, those folks out of that area over here. And again, we saw how that worked. Originally, the smoking ban ordinance was not just that area in Kennedy. It was all of downtown. You're talking about coming to where the highway is up by Broad Street. And then those areas with the whole bridge in terms of the park and near the river. So that smoking ban ordinance was actually a compromise. That was not the original plan, the original submitted smoking ban ordinance proposal. Mm-hmm. So they are, and unfortunately, Mr. Paolino seems to be the driver, but yet at the same time, he's not alone, the drivers of this plan. And yet, I would say because no one has brought this to their attention in the manner that we're doing right now, they've been able to get away with these little tidbits. Now, given the racial reckoning that we've seen in 2020, and we're calling out some of them, this is racist, it's classist, it's elitist, it's oppressive, it's exclusionary, it is all those things that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 say are illegal in Title VI. Mm-hmm. Which then led to, after the governor, the mayor, and the heads of RIPTA and RIDA thought it was a good thing to have a Facebook Live event and say this is a good thing. We're moving forward after all we have said, all we have submitted, all that we had demonstrated was harmful. That's when then we move ahead and say, you know what? We need to go further. We need to take the action. And I definitely said, I said, what's that legal action? Because we need to do some sort of complaint against civil rights, because that's what this is. This is disparate impact. When you have race-neutral policies or ideas that on the surface look like they're being fair, but in actuality, when you think of the impact, they're harmful to the federal and state protected classes of people, and in particular, people of color, low to moderate income. So that's what led to this discussion, and when Grow Smart was looking for a co-signer, and they reached out to SBNA, and we said, yes, we did, because we already said someone should have did this. We just didn't have the capacity to do it on our own. Fine. And then you saw that was our day of service on MLK Day when the complaint was submitted to both Wyandotte and RIPPA.
Ooh, what a beautiful poetic. What a beautiful way to do it.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that.
So, once again, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because Providence does have a tendency to not listen to the will of the people. But that being said, I've noticed, at least in recent years, an abundance of politicians, when pushed, going back. I'm thinking of the Providence Water sale. I'm thinking of, you know, in terms of the negative things like the bike lanes over in my neck of the woods. But you know, there's at least a lot of evidence right now for politicians being able to be swayed by these things. So I think it'll be very interesting to see, you know, what the public reaction you know, looks like if and when this does come to fruition. I mean, this is going to make people miserable, and I feel like they're going to actually, they're not going to be quiet about it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I do say is, you know, Rhode Island and Providence in particular, we have a Jim Crow tradition. So we don't have laws or statute like South had stating separation of races. But when you think of how we go about with our life, it's still existent and prevalent here today. And that's showing with this very idea. Here's, you know, let's keep it real. All white men who are sitting up here saying, this is who I want and don't want in the area, by saying we're going to break this up and put them in different other places when they're not near here. So we can have this area and space for ourselves that benefits us. And we're sitting here saying, okay, why is it that Providence and the state of Rhode Island are really giving in to these demands of segregation? But again, this is what it is. What's going on? And yet at the same time, when you brought up those other activities, and that's another thing that we're having to address here, and I said this also, we have different forms. We talk about structural and institutional racism. We also have internal racism. We have folks who are doing these things who are people of color or who are part of our identified groups who think that this is okay. So they have adopted these mantles, these standards of white supremacy, white dominant culture, and they're doing it right here. But what is different is obviously what we've seen out of 2020, and when you have folks like yourself, like me, like Jen, who are saying, not only no, that's wrong, but this is exactly what it is, that is what is also shaping, because, you know, look at what we've seen in 2020 and 2021. This ain't the time to look racist.
This also puts white gentrifiers in a really interesting place of having to put their money where their mouth is, right? Because all the hipsters on the West End and all the rich white folks and, you know, Ivy League kids on the East Side believe in all this stuff theoretically, but now they're going to have to actually work for you know, equality within and equity, more honestly, within the transit system and the way that we treat people who use it. In other states, everybody uses the bus and the subway and the train, and therefore it's everybody's incentive and desire and responsibility to make sure that it runs in an efficient and effective way. For some reason, Rhode Island, despite it being so fucking small that we could literally have like the best goddamn transit system that ever existed, has decided that like buses are for poor people. Like, fuck you, dude. No.
Yep.
And, yeah, right on.
And that is, again, going back to the Jim Crow tradition. This is what we're seeing now. It's always been here. it's now in a different form. So like you said, we're seeing it with, you know, the folks who come in, they got their money, but in doing what they're doing, they displace. And, oh, you know, they, you see it, they hang in Black Lives Matter signs outside their door. And I'm like, this is a box. See, this is a damn thing prominent. But yeah, I don't see no Black lives working in those stores or running those stores or owning those stores. Mm-hmm. So again, when we're talking about this, is it pure rhetoric? I put up a fight, or are you willing to give up power and your potential money, let's keep it real, what we're talking about, in order to live up to those ideals? Because with SBNA, when we're talking about transformation of equity, racial equity, being anti-racist when it comes to zoning and urban planning, that means you have to give up your power or your perceived power. Because not to say that they have the power, but they're, you know, they're thinking they can move this puzzle around and do what they got to do, and then they are in charge. And no, if you really are anti-racist, if you're really truly committed, then that means you need to call this out. You need to be the first one to say no. It shouldn't be us speaking and all of a sudden, yeah, that sounds correct. You should be really thinking outside the box, outside of your own bubble and circle, and say, wait a minute, that's wrong. Why are they doing that? I'm going to call this out on this particular person. I don't care who that person is or relation to me or what potential harm may come to my own self-interest. If I'm really committed to this work, then I'm going to take that stand.
Welcome to Can We Fix It, where we shit all over people, but like in good, like for a good cause.
Well, we're shitting on people in order to have other people not get shit on. I mean, that's really what we're doing here. We're shitting on the people that we don't like because they're harming the people that have historically been shit upon.
No, I'm saying this is literally like the perfect, this is the perfect medium for this. Because like, this is what we do. This is our bread and butter, baby. Is just being like, you're doing it wrong.
Well, this one got me. This is what was frustrating. Okay, we had to file a Title VI complaint. You mean to tell me all the stuff we did wasn't enough? I had to go here. Granted, I'm willing to go there to get the justice, because that's what we're talking about. But I really had, we, SBNA, Grow Smart, we had to really draft a Title VI complaint. We had to submit that. It had to go public. We had to basically shame the state to show this is what they're doing and what harm they're creating for the very people. Again, 2020, think of all that's happening. Think about it. Oh, we voted, you know, we voted by a slim majority to remove Providence Plantations, but you would think, okay, did you think that that was enough? When we're saying equity inclusion, we mean everything. We mean every single process, everything that you've done or the way you've done it, you now need to rethink. And this is still part of, this is not even good old boys network. This is old white men. This is white supremacy, plain and simple, and full view of how they're going about it. And unfortunately, you got some Black and brown folks and some other historically excluded groups who have identified with those practices that have, and they think that this is okay, this is right. And then when you multiply that with all the other issues that you've mentioned that we're going through, it just makes it so much worse for the smallest state in the nation, where this really should not be that hard.
I'm going to be honest, the minute that they decided to put the Rhode Island and Providence plantations question back on the ballot, I was really torn, right? Because part of me obviously wanted to have it removed, but then part of me also knew that that was going to be for like the next 5 years. Like every progressive's pat yourself on the back, like, well, we fixed racism though, because we got rid of, because plantations is gone now,
yeah.
So we got rid of racism, so we don't have racism in Rhode Island. We literally, we wiped it away. And like, part of me worries that that's literally what's going to happen with these Democrats, of just like, well, there's no racism, we're called Rhode Island now, you're welcome.
Oh, and again, this is the moment where we need to be. Now, you know me, I'm very repetitive. I'm also consistent. Yeah, that was the beginning. Oh, you thought that was the end? No, no, no. That was the start. Oh, we gone through all of this. All of it. Everything's getting reviewed. Everything. And for me, God willing, if I'm on this earth for a very long time, I ain't going no damn place. We fixing all this stuff. Now, I'm focusing right now on, like I said, the zoning, the urban planning, and then my own personal passions, the economic prosperity for all. So those are my own personal passions. But again, you got folks here, we're looking at education, we're looking at all this stuff. We ain't going, and I've had to say this in these meetings, this ain't going away. We're not going away. We're not changing the subject. So if you want this to be easier on you, the main thing is, you know, get with the program. It's changing. You are going to have to change too. And that's it. I have to change. We're talking about, we saw with the Me Too movement and men and male privilege and all those other dynamics. I had to change. The reality is I had to shift and think and redo what I was thinking, how I was going about it, thinking I was a male ally and I was fucking up myself. Excuse my language.
You know, on this channel, come on now.
But again, it is that type of internal and then internal reform as well as an external demonstration. So, yeah, you may have voted to remove the province plantations. Yeah, that means you may have wrote a check to a predominantly black organization. Yeah, you may have attended a dinner or a breakfast or two in the past, one of those organizations. But no, that is not enough. You want real transformative power, change, and shifts in power. And that means you need to be willing to let go of what you stand to maintain and or gain.
Well, so this is one thing that does play in our favor, at least in terms of the Kennedy Plaza debacle. I think we all know that until we actually substantiate like a significant social and culture shift within Rhode Island, Kennedy Plaza is going to be on the docket for the next 50 to 100 years. We have to make it clear in a long-standing way, again, so that community organizers like yourself don't have to, every 4 years, repeat themselves. But I think one of the things that works out in our favor is that this year particularly, so we've got a lame duck mayor, but if we can postpone this shit, I mean, it's COVID. Nobody's starting new construction right now, you know what I mean? So, like, if we can postpone this shit until, the election, no new mayor is going to want to go through on something like that. That's that serious and that big of a commitment, knowing that the community is not behind them. And then we also have Governor Dan the Forgettable Man, who is so conflict averse that, you know, if it did come down to, a legal fight about whether or not this was literally, you know, legalized racism, which I think that if we're being honest, the Rhode Island Supreme Court would be out of their fucking minds to not uphold something like that. Would be to you know, squash that issue on his own. So one of the good things that we have going for us right now in this particular battle is that most of the politicians that we're up against are very fucking mushy. So one of the things that you mentioned earlier was that, if we're being frank, it's rich white men who are deciding who does and does not belong in downtown Providence. And I think that one of the richest, whitest men that we need to worry about is Brett Smiley, because I think we all know that Mayor Smiley would let Joe Paolino, carve up poor people and feed them to the ducks and Roger Williams. Like, I don't know that there's anything he wouldn't let Paolino do. I'm sure you have opinions on the mayoral race, and I'm not trying to get you in trouble, but like, also tell me what your thoughts are.
All right. So let me just, set this up and be very clear. So within these races, obviously having run for office myself and who aspires to run for office, again, obviously we talk about which level of office and which year, I do understand the importance of being objective, of making your assessments, of coming to your conclusion based on facts. And so I still encourage that with everyone who's listening, is that, do your own homework, come to your own conclusion. At the same time, it would be naive of me to say, your own personal interactions, experiences don't matter, because they do. And so that can lead to a situation where it could be biased or subjective. At the same time, that's your experience. And that also counts as well within that assessment. And so when thinking about the mayoral race and all the potential candidates, when candidate Smiley comes up, I have to go back to the experience when candidate Smiley was then the chief operating officer for the city of Providence. And myself, I was back on the board of directors for the Urban League of Rhode Island from November 2014 to January 2019. But for those with the historical context, Google Urban League of Rhode Island, you'll see what was going on in 2013 to 2014. I can talk to you about it at the side. But yet, you remember what was going on, you know, all the stuff and the property, what was going to happen, which is still a debate and still up for negotiations with the City of Providence, the Urban League, and its potential future now that it's still in receivership. However, although I can't disclose what all took place, but I will say the experience and the interactions, although they were few, they were profound. And so they were profound enough in which I, as board member Keys, was urbanly having to interact with COO Smiley, left with an experience that is still profound and influencing my opinion today. And so when we think of the racial reckoning that we saw in 2020, this commitment that we're hearing to anti-racism and the need for true white allies of people of color, people who have been historically excluded, people who really need to have those folks with power, influence, and authority to be on their side to create that more equitable, inclusive, and justice environment. And I look at candidate Smiley. If we were to vote today, I would say no. No, I'm not voting. No, it's for him. No, he ain't getting my vote. No, I'm not campaigning for nothing. I don't trust what candidate Smiley would bring. Again, based on that experience. Now, again, I'm going to note this for your listeners. So that's Dwayne's assessment of his experience, which he can't say. So do your homework, come to your conclusions. At the same time, you know, that was 2015, 2016. So it is possible, although when you look at the news articles and everything else is going on, I don't know how, it is possible that someone could have changed or reformed in that area. Yet when I look at what are the needs of the South Side, what do people, particularly in the South Side of Providence, need? And I'm looking at this, you know, this race, and I'm looking at the neighborhood chair and what do my neighbors need? I would be petrified with a Mayor Smiley. And so, as of today, if we were looking at this, my vote is no.
I'm going to be honest, it would take a lot to get me on board with a Mayor Smiley, and I don't even have a personal experience to tie to him. I have just news stories and intuition, and news stories are frequently wrong. My intuition is rarely wrong. So my big issue with candidate Brett Smiley, aside from the obvious weirdness that's going on with him ethically, actually not aside from that, I mean, that's my major issue with him, is that he seems very ethically and morally compromised, and it kind of feels like he can talk himself into anything. And I also don't think that a Mayor Brett Smiley would be the best next step from the trajectory that we've had, right? We had Mayor Cicilline, followed by Tavares, followed by Mayor Alorza, and all of them, had their various flaws, but moved us forward in a way that was, undeniable. And I think that a Brett Smiley would be, he would be the Governor Dan of mayors. First of all, I'm already unhappy with anybody who chooses to use the Catuños still as their mail ballot people when there are dozens of other options now. Like, I get it when it was back in the day and they were the only game in town, but now there are like non-scumbags and felons that you can hire, and I don't necessarily understand why people continue to hire them. And for me, anybody who does, that's a real deal breaker for me, because I know that the way that they work. And I personally would not want them knocking doors in my community based on, you know, how they strong arm little old ladies and are just like, you know, overall, not good vibes, bad vibes, just bad vibes off the Catuños all day. I was trying to find like a more like politically like sound way of saying that, but like they just got bad vibes all over them. And like, there's nothing that they could do at this point to get me to be like, hey, maybe you're all right. Like, no, they will literally do anything including like murder a dude to win an election. And like, that just, that's, that shit doesn't sit right with me. Additionally, that whole shit with like the ethics lady being like the law office where they happen to like, bitch, meet at your house. I don't know why a law office would be any less COVID friendly. Like, what are you fucking doing, Brett? What are you doing?
You're the ethics commissioner. You don't work for him, and that's unethical. I mean,
well, I think you all are bringing up a very good point in terms of when you think of the mayor, executive branch, management, and as someone who, you know, my job with SBNA as a volunteer chairperson, you are managing teams, you're building coalitions, but with my full-time employment, I am a manager. And as a manager, there are things you can't do or you shouldn't do when you're demonstrating that. So then you have to think, Mayor Smiley, if you messing up here, well, how are you going to mess up you in the office? Oh my goodness. So if you're having these issues now, then what's going to happen once you get in that office? And oh my goodness, we're going to see all the stuff going on. So your views are valid because when you're thinking of the assessment of how is this person going to govern, because that's what we're talking about here.
Right.
How are they going to govern this, these examples? If you're messing up, this is just in your regular life. How are you going to manage the city when you think of, not just Kennedy Plaza, when you think of this housing crisis, when you think of the budget issue, when you're thinking of all these potential issues impacting the city of Providence as a whole, and you can't even manage your personal and professional relationships, can you really manage the city? That is a valid question.
Well, and also, one of the things that really bothers me about all of this is like, does nobody on your staff care about you, babe? Like, do you have anybody on your staff that's like, hey, that's not a good idea. You probably shouldn't do that. That's like a super bad idea. Second of all is the fact that like he returned, this isn't even the only conflict of interest that he has. He's got, you know, he had all those donations that were coming in from people who were either contractors for the state of Rhode Island or wannabe contractors for the state of Rhode Island. And like, it's this kind of shit that makes people become conspiracy theorists. You know what I mean? Like, this is why people believe that like Democrats eat babies, is because you have this kind of ridiculous ass inbred, like one dude handles the contracts, but he's also running for mayor and he gets money from the people who are applying for contracts. Like, you're just begging for people to like turn this into, like, this is why people have conspiracy theories.
So I can tell you, like, obviously now I work for a nonprofit where I'm really focusing on helping families with low incomes achieve their financial goals and dreams. Before I worked for full profit, you know, I worked in banking, I worked in investment services, and we were taught these types of things you don't do. You don't bring attention to yourself. You don't bring this up, you don't put yourself in a situation where there is any question of conflict of interest. You disclose, again, full disclosure. These are things I learned when I first entered that world of financial services straight in my, you know, end of my first year of grad school. Again, so how is it that I learned this in 2003, 2004 as a student transitioning to work, and I see someone who's around the same age, maybe a little older than I am, possibly, you know, who's now still messing up on these things? This is, again, like, you're talking about your ethics, but it's like, okay, if you're messing up with this stuff, how are you going to handle all those other things? How are you going to handle those contracts? How are you going to handle that particular process? How are you going to handle perceived, you know, conflicts of interest? And you and I, you haven't both held office, haven't run, I haven't run for office, and also being in a role, we deal with this every single day. We know there's certain things we can't do. We can't do it that way. We can't go about it a certain way because someone's going to ask a question. So for us to avoid that situation and not have that headache, let's not even go there. And yet, he went there. You know, you and I have both had looked at the contribution, but like, ooh, who this? You should have put that on hold because I got the research to review that. And where they come from? Return that, dude. I can't put that in my account and put that on my report because somebody's going to ask a question and I just don't have that kind of time. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that type of real focus shows attention to detail. It shows mindfulness. It shows care And yet, as a manager, if I was in that position, this is how I would govern. This is showing you how, if he was elected, how he would govern.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, if we can knock one person, again, if we can knock one person out of this mayoral race, please, dear God, let it be Brett Smiley, whose money all comes from nefarious places, whose intentions are wily at best, who has been in politics way, way too long and is like Lolita Young, so we know he's not going anywhere. But yeah, Wiley Smiley is just not somebody that I trust, you know, with the, I'm going full Trump now, Wiley Smiley. I will, there are some things about Trump that like just stuck with me, you know what I mean? Like some like weird little Trumpisms that I catch myself, like I still can't say the word sad without being like, sad.
Sad, yes, exactly. Although it's funny that you say that because the Rhode Island GOP put out a press release today and they called him Slimy Smiley at the top of the memo. So, I mean, they're carrying on the tradition proudly.
Well, this is amazing because we're actually going to be having Minority Leader Blake Phillippe on the show within the next couple of weeks to talk about how, at least in Rhode Island, Republicans and progressives have a lot more in common than they care to admit. So I'm actually remotely surprised that me and the GOP both think, what is it, Slimy Smiley?
Yes.
Slimy.
Yes.
I like mine better. Wiley Smiley is cooler.
It's really interesting because even myself, like many folks don't know, one of my good best friends is North Kingstown Town Council member Mary Reimer. And when people look at her and they're thinking, oh my goodness, it's like, no, she and I go way back, and there's a lot of stuff, depending upon the topic. Like I said, one is the Second Amendment rights and gun control. That's one area where she and I differ, but on many things, we love this state. We want the best for everyone. The question is, how do we go about it? And if we're truly being inclusive and not being elitist and not trying to exclude certain folks from prosperity, or we only want to have a certain group of people to be in our sphere of area who we say what the criteria is, that's the problem. And so, you know, when you think of, like I said, for me, you know, I know you said you don't believe the media. When that article, that Go Local article came out about the alleged intimidation and shakedown within the whole casino negotiations, I read that involving Candidate Smiley. I read that and I said, that sounds very familiar. What do I remember that from? Again, my experience serving on the board of directors of the Urban League of Rhode Island, having to deal with the city of Providence and all those particular negotiations. So,
don't you love when you hear a story about somebody and you're like, yeah, that sounds right?
I was like, oh, you surprised? And one person who was like, they know Candidate Smiley, they were like, oh my God, I can't believe it. I was like, not me. I can't disclose because of board confidentiality. I'm holding my agreement. At the same time, when I would say I left with that, I was like, sounds very familiar, deja vu. And they were like, oh my goodness. I said, again, these are the experiences that you may not always hear about, but with any candidate, you always got to ask those questions. You have to look at that. You have to think about that. And if someone's asking that question, why? You know, what's interesting is that with all these questions, about ethics questions, we haven't heard from who? Candidate Smiley. Because I was like, hi, I'm sorry, wait a minute, let me show you all that then happened, what went down, and here's the real deal. So, you know, I hear, you know, that whole thing with silence. Yeah, silence can be deafening, but it can also defeat your campaign.
So let's go ahead and just say, Brett, buddy, we know you're listening. What Rhode Island politician doesn't listen to this show by now? If only to make sure that they are not the target of our ire. Brett, babe, save your money, save your time. It's not happening. It's not. Providence is not going to let it happen. You're wasting your energy. You're wasting your resources. We get it. Gina loves you, and that's great. But she's leaving, and she can't do jack shit for you. So just save your time, save your money, go knock on doors for somebody who actually might be the mayor, because I promise you, Brett, baby, it is not going to be you. It is not going to be you. Predicting it now, all right? Fucking call me a psychic.
Okay. Let me say this. You know, Brett, sir, honey lamb. And for me, I would never tell someone, no, don't do anything. Because let's remember, when I ran and who I challenged, they're folks like, Dwayne, you doing that? So I never say, don't do that. What I will say is, sir, do you really truly understand what Providence is and where we're going? Mm. Do you understand where we're going, who we need? Who we need in terms of not only their personal characteristics, and I'm not saying you got to be perfect, because I'm certainly not perfect. And, you know, there's some criticism of myself. Moreover, you know, being you health office, there's criticism of you.
How dare you? Shut your whore mouth. I am magnificent. I am perfect. Never made a mistake in my life.
Okay, now you are sounding like the white supremacists that we criticize them all the time.
Listen, okay, in my defense, I'm pretty sure that I'm the only one who made a cocktail tonight.
So I was like, it noted that I fucked up a lot.
Thank you. And so, you know, Brett, are given Providence's issues when we talk about race, like I said, we have a Jim Crow tradition, and for the South Side, we're looking for someone who's going to help as an ally to dismantle that. Are you that person?
No.
Financially, with all that stuff, all that Providence, and even as one could say we're a city state, are you that particular person? Now, I posed that question to Brett, and you know, you just like everyone else, you know how to call me if you got any questions.
Listen, we're about to wrap up, but I want to ask, how can people be helpful in the Kennedy Plaza debacle and making their voices heard?
So one of the things that they really can do is continue to voice their particular complaints with both RIPTA and RIDA.
Okay.
They most certainly can contact, if they live in Providence, but actually not just in Providence, you can call both your state representative, your state senator, and your particular city or town council, because I have been talking with some folks in Newport who utilize RIPTA services. This is just as impactful to them as it is for those who live in Providence. Because if they're having to deal with this change that's going to have an impact on them, it's an issue. So I do have folks, as far as Newport, who are talking about this, but if you're really someone who lives and relies on RIPTA being as not only as providing the service it is now, but how it can get better, this idea is going to really reverse it far worse. And so we want to have a particular position on how it can be maintain at least the best of what it's offering now, but how can it get better? And so, yes, call your state rep, call your state senator, call your city or town council person. Let other folks know who ride the bus, because there's a lot of other folks who ride the bus who don't know that this is occurring. So if you know someone who is using RIP the bus services and you hear about this, let them know this is what's going on, this is what's happening, share with them, we can get you information as what's being talked about, because the one thing is we do need the people, people also talk about this. This is great in which we've been amplifying our voices of the people so far. We want to continue that. But for me, I want to hear from the people who are directly most impacted by this issue of RIPTA. To speak on this and to say that this is wrong. And also, like I said, for those fiscal conservatives listening to this, they use the transit-oriented money for stuff that's non-transit. Get on it!
That's exactly right. And again, I think that the overlap between fiscal conservatives or conservatives in general and progressives is pretty good. So Dwayne, thank you again for being on the show. This was absolutely delightful. You made Jen and my job super easy this episode.
I just sat back. This was great.
I know. I loved it. Are you on Twitter?
I'm not. I need to get on Twitter, but you know I'm on Facebook, and you know all my stuff. I'm posting there, so I tell folks like Dwayne Keith, Harvest Rhode Island. You can follow. You can like. You can see. Oh, you can see what I'm talking about. you are. You may or may not like what I'm saying. But you can see what I'm talking about.
Exactly. So, and if there are any Ripta writers or listeners who are having trouble getting in touch, you know, reach out to the show and we'll obviously put you in touch. You can always tweet at us at More of This Please, PLZ, and at Vulpinator1. As always, be sure to, you know, log on to patreon.com/canwefixit to either become a patron, participate in polls, or catch up on previous episodes. Episodes are now available pretty much everywhere. Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, all that weird shenanigans. And leave reviews to outweigh the shitty conservatives that are hate watching this show. Yeah, we know you're conservatives. We can tell by the way that you comment. You guys are not fucking subtle. So, Dwayne, is there any complaint that you would like to add to our outro? We usually say, you know, stay safe, wash your hands, wear your mask.
So, yes, all of that. And yes, on Wednesday, the 24th of this month, the Providence City Council is having a ordinance hearing about the future of St. Joe's. And that's another issue with the city of Providence, you know, with the city of Providence, with the neighborhood, about what I mentioned earlier in terms of St. Joseph's Hospital, the former property. Part of the property has been donated to Providence. The other part is still in the ownership of Paleo Properties. And the neighbors and all surrounding here, the neighbor groups, SBNA included, want to know what the future of that property that remains in Paleo Properties' hands, what is going to happen. We need to know details. We need to know facts and figures. We need all this stuff. And so as we're preparing for that ordinance hearing, we're saying, do you know any of the neighbors who live in that neighborhood, live in that area, or do you know are serving on the ordinance committee or on the city council? Let them know that we need to delay that, not so that we can stop progress or anything else, but we need to have enough time for neighbors to know exactly what's going on for them to be part of the decision-making process of the future of that property.
Oh, hell yeah. All right. Well, in that case, stay safe, wash your hands, harass your Providence City Council person, go the correct way at the supermarket, and go be a good fucking neighbor today. Thank you for tuning into Can We Fix It?